Welcome to the homily studio for Sunday, the 2nd of November. My goodness, it's November already. How did that happen? Of course, you're counting days to Christmas, but I'm thinking of our many Filipino parishioners who started celebrating Christmas about 4 months ago. So, wherever you are listening, you are welcome. Sunday, 2nd of November, which by very happy coincidence this year is the Feast of All Souls. We get to celebrate this great feast on a Sunday. So who do we have in this conversation today?
We've got Kushla O'Connor, and I am here in Christchurch, at Otatahi Christchurch. I'm the Religious Education Advisor for the Catholic Diocese of Christchurch at the moment.
And we're both in Christchurch, Kushla, but we're not related, although both I'd be quite happy to be.
Yeah, quite happy to be, but not related, but quite happy to be, yes.
One day, one day. Before we dig this hole too deep, who else is here?
So Margaret Bearsley, I'm from Wellington and I'm the Chief Executive of Anglican Financial Care.
And we've actually got someone else who's having some sound difficulties at the moment, but as soon as they give me the thumbs up, we'll bring them into the conversation. But in the meantime, let's pray. And I'm drawn, as I so often am, to the entrance antiphon for the Sunday, which really introduces us very immediately, very quickly, very powerfully to the celebration. From 1 Corinthians 4 and 1 Corinthians 15. Just as Jesus died and has risen again, so through Jesus God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. And as in Adam all die, so also in Christ will all be brought to life. So also in Christ will all be brought to life. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, who's ready to go? Now, I should probably say, just for listeners, we've had a couple of email conversations in the last couple of days as to what readings are we choosing, because there is such a selection for the feast. And what I've responded is, look, let's, on this Feast of All Souls, let's not worry too much about particular pieces of scripture, given that parishes will choose from the variety available, but let's really try and communicate the heart of what we celebrate on the Feast of All Souls. So having said that, who's ready to start? Margaret, you look ready.
Yes, I am ready, thank you. Yes, absolutely. So there we had 35,000 different readings to choose from, and thank you for the advice that we not choose any of them. So I decided to think about I guess what spoke to my heart very deeply, because my husband died nearly 15 years ago, and my husband was, I don't know, I kind of questionable faith, I suppose, and I'm sure we all have loved ones who have died where we just didn't really know what they believed. And so through the various studies I've done, two books have impacted me very deeply as I've kind of lived with the sorrow of all of that. And one is Joseph Ratzinger's book that he wrote in the 70s called Eschatology, which is extraordinary. And another, the other book was another 1970s book. So Walter Chiswick's He Leadeth Me. So both of those books, I think, are extraordinarily wonderful for those wondering about the eternity of the ones that they love. And Joseph Ratzinger points out that immortality is dialogical, he says. So it's relational. So we have a relationship with God, and or with the incarnate God, Jesus, right, who spans the gap between humanity and eternity. And through, well, so one of the things Ratzinger does is he uses the Bible story of Peter walking on the water, right? And he starts to sink until Jesus holds out his hand, and Peter, who kind of represents humanity, grasps his hand. And so it's by grasping on to Christ that we are able to stand atop the sea of mortality and yeah, attain to God. And then briefly, I know I'm going on, but briefly, He Leadeth Me, right? So the key concept of He Leadeth Me was Walter Chiswick, who was 20-something years in Russian prisons, 5 years in solitary confinement and torture in Lubyanka prison. And through suffering all of that, and trying to be strong and recognize God's will for him, it finally dawned on him after 5 years of suffering and abject despair that in fact his situation in life was God's will for him. And so our situation in life is God's will for us, and that's where we communicate with God. That's our relationship with God, right? That's the conversation we have with God. So there we
Well,
go. That's me
what a
and
powerful beginning, Margaret. Thank you. Thank you especially for beginning with your own personal experience, because I know that everyone who is listening will have some experience of losing someone they love to death, or living in the fear of losing through sickness or health, losing someone they love. And it's part of the human condition. I'm thinking of any preacher in any congregation this weekend, everyone there. When it comes to this Feast of All Souls, it's personal, it's real, and it's painful. And in quoting Chiswick and Ratzinger, you've given us some hope in the pain there, Margaret. Kushla, you also don't
Yeah,
go.
that you gave us so much to think about, Margaret. I was looking at the readings, and I got a bit splattered, which I can easily do. And then you think about, well, if something were to happen to me, and you're at my funeral, you might be saying it, John. The souls of the just are in the hand of God. That sort of touched me, from that reading. And then you flick over, and one of my favorite psalms is "The Lord is my shepherd," because from a farming background, the shepherd is always really close to his sheep. And I'd like my children to ponder that, to sing that with great gusto at my funeral, if that was the case. And then I looked at the story of, Jesus went into the town of Nain, and he raises the young man back to life, and comforting the widow. And I thought, I found that comforting. I found that gospel passage really comforting, because it's the promise of that everlasting life, that death is not the end, that there's something more. And that whole understanding of the communion of saints, and we're all part of it, and we're praying for those that have gone before us. We had a wonderful experience 4 years ago, 5 years ago, in Mexico City. We were there at this time of year, and boy, the celebrations there of bringing together of the indigenous way of thinking about those that have gone before, and then and in a Catholic context as well, it was rather beautiful to see that all melting together, and that we are part of that whole communion of saints. I love this time of the year.
I
I
get it. We have these great feasts together, like we have the Feast of All Souls, preceded a day early by the Feast of All Saints, preceded a day earlier by the Feast of Halloween.
Yeah, that's right.
Because I think it's important in helping us understand Halloween, literally All Saints Eve. Now, we had a few sound difficulties earlier, but Martin, you're with us now?
It's Martin de Jong here, calling from Te Whanganui Atara. I work for Caritas, a storyteller writer, and it's been very good listening to your responses to the readings. What's just most struck me is what Kushla just mentioned about Indigenous understanding and connection with the communion of saints, because it reminds me. Years ago in 1990, I was a youth hikoi and hui to Waitangi. And I remember Sir James Henare had just passed away earlier in that year. And a Māori elder told me that's significant for them when someone of that standing passes is actually a good sign, a good omen. And I connected that immediately with our communion of saints, people who have passed on. They're still praying for us, interceding for us. We can help them with our prayers. And obviously, the saints, especially, can help us with their prayers. And for me, it was such a wonderful affirmation from a Maori Indigenous point of view of the Catholic communion of saints, which I actually find struggle with sometimes, but over the years it's come to mean more and more. And sometimes I do feel quite a deep connection with my My grandparents on my mother's side in particular, because I didn't know my grandparents on my father's side.
Martin, can I just interrupt here, because you have raised something that really is at the heart of this feast, but most of us overlook most of the time, and that is that we pray for those who have died. And I can't help but notice so often at funerals, and often funerals that profess to be very Catholic funerals, there is often zero mention, apart from the formal prayers of the Mass, of praying for the one who had died. Like, even the prayers of intercession, which the family might prepare, is thanking God for the gift of life of this person, and we gather to celebrate the life. But in fact, the funeral rite within the Catholic Church exists primarily, well, certainly to help our own grief. Part of that is the primary purpose. But to pray for those who have died, knowing that our prayer for those who have died can bring about the effect that they desire and that we seek for them. Now, can we stay with that for a second? Because this really, I think it's probably very, very important on this feast of All Souls to celebrate, to clarify this. Otherwise, we end up just celebrating All Saints twice. So what is it to pray? What does it mean to pray for those who have died? Given that one of the readings is it's a holy and wholesome thought to pray for those who have died, that they may be loosed from their sins. Kushla, what will it mean at your funeral when we lead the prayers for Kushla who has died?
Please pray that pray to help me on my journey. I want that. I want those prayers. That's how I understand All Souls. We are praying for the person or the people that have gone before us to help them on their journey home, to God. And one of the things that they do in Mexico is they set up these little altars, and they've got the crucifix and they've got Our Lady of Guadalupe and they've got the skeleton and it's all decorated and all the rest of it. But they take food, they take water and food to these little altars that they create, either in their homes or at the cemetery, and we did both, and to help them on their journey back to God. And so, yeah, pray for me. That's my understanding of what will happen at my funeral, but on All Souls Day, we're praying for those who that are on their journey home.
I remember hearing a few years ago that the church had to intervene and make a statement that in order for there to be a requiem mass for a person, that person had to have died. That may sound really odd, but what was happening is some people who had an enemy would have a requiem mass offered for the happy repose of their soul, and they were still living. So, of course, the church had to very had to clarify this. But I was at a most wonderful funeral mass last week. Some listeners will know Dominic Hassan, who was an architect here in Christchurch, died far too young, just in his early 60s. But a good and holy and wise and faith-filled a man. But there were a few jokes made during his eulogy, and even the bishop who was present mentioned Dominic's canonization, the cause for his canonization begun. But then there was laughter. It was actually a very appropriate mention, and the laughter was especially appropriate because it means that we know that that's not automatic. But it really did help us to focus on it is what we are praying for. We are praying that this person be fully part of the communion of saints. So does that mean that God is waiting for our prayer in order to give someone a little nudge along the line towards full entry to the reign of God? You're all stumped now. Margaret,
No,
tackle that
that's
one.
a deep, yeah, that's a deeply theological question, and I think the appropriate answer to it is we don't know, because I think the prayer is, the efficacy of prayer is a bit of a mystery, but we do know that it is efficacious. And I just want to thank you, John, for the reminder that that's what All Souls Day is about, is praying for the dead. And so, like when I started off on my little spiel at the start, I was worried about my husband. I really was, because he was superstitious. He never came to mass with, I mean, he was nominally a Catholic. He was glad I went to mass, but he never came to mass with me. And yeah, I was worried, and I prayed for him an awful lot. And I gained great comfort from the prayer. Is it? It's at the dismissal, I think, or toward leading the coffin out, I think. Something like about may the angels and saints lead you to paradise. So I don't, this, that just makes my heart sore. It really does. But then the other great thing I think about being Catholic is this whole idea that we can offer up our pain and sufferings. And I still offer my, I'm over 60, right? So there's always pain. But you can offer it up for the holy souls in purgatory. And I often think, darling, I hope this is helping you. I really do, because I can contribute, I can
Okay.
contribute to his
Good.
well-being.
Now, Margaret, I'm going to press you on this just a little bit. You said, because I hope it can help. Does it?
Of course it does.
Here you go. So now the reason I said that is you said, I hope it, but what you
Yes.
mean is, I have no doubt that it does.
Well, hope can be certain, right? Like, we can't see it. I'm not, I don't see it, but I do hope for it, and I know that it's true.
Well, in the rite of the Catholic burial, we pray in the sure and certain hope, like the
That's
word
it.
you
That's right.
said.
You know that Maccabees reading where it
Yeah.
said, in Maccabees, Judas is praying for those that have fallen, this, and then it, and so that's a real, I find that comforting, because it says, for if he had not expected the fallen to rise again, it would have been superfluous or foolish to pray for the dead. And that tells me that my prayers for the dead are being listened to and heard by God. And so yes, I will continue to do so, and to call on all those, like my husband a few years ago, had, well, it was 11 years ago now, had major surgery. And if I could have attributed my prayer for him to one saint, I would have. But I was just like, is there anybody out there listening? And I know you are listening. Please intercede. And I believe they did. That gave me great comfort.
Now, I think there's going to be a lot of people listening to us who are a bit skeptical and say, oh, we don't sort of. Look, what I'm going to say to you, if you're listening and have that, even a hint of skepticism about praying for those who have died, just do it. Like, just do it. Take a period of 7 days. And just at the beginning of the period of 7 days, and it might begin this very moment until next week at the same time. What I'm going to do is every time someone who has died comes to mind, it might be a close family member about whom I still carry huge grief or loss. It might be the neighbor that died 50 years ago and I haven't thought about since. Every time, say a prayer. Like, and rather than just in my own words, create a prayer, decide that I will pray, glory be to the Father and to the Son. Or if you want to be a little more lengthy, pray one Our Father. Like, but do it in a very tangible way, because it is the way that we work as humans. That's why we need to not just say, yeah, someone says, yeah, will you pray for that? Yeah, sure, I'll pray. And we never think about it again. Not good enough. So, with those who have died, I would say every time I think of someone who have died, it might be a parent, a grandparent, someone we love, someone we didn't like, whoever, pray for them and decide it's this little prayer of the glory be or the eternal rest grant to them, O Lord. Just do it. And then notice what happens over the next few days in your own life. I guarantee you will notice a difference. So, on praying for the dead, just do it. If you don't believe me, try it. Just 7 days. If it doesn't work and you think it's a waste of time, well, let's return to your default. But this is the heart of what we are celebrating today. Now, in the email correspondence over the last 2 or 3 days, clarifying among the four of us, I said, one question I'm going to ask you, what is your favorite reading for a funeral and why? What is your favorite reading at a funeral and why? Martin, now your pause is suggesting that you weren't as ready to go as you looked as though you might be.
No, I wasn't, and I think what came to mind was that one of the first reading options that you may have quoted at the start about, gosh, I can't remember, but it talks about the just who have died, and that reading probably because I first heard it on Anzac Day or something, I always connect it with World War One,
Okay.
and by my grandfather who fought there, and but. But there's something about that reading as a whole of those who have died,
Yeah.
the just who have died, and flawed as they are, but they're still
Indeed.
people who died for a good cause. That sort of struck my heart.
Yeah. I like that wisdom reading too, Martin, because of that, that beginning, the souls of the just are in the hand of God. And so the whole thing sort of solidifies for me, and I want it for those who are listening at my funeral to understand that, this is not the end. This is not the end for me. It's not the end. It's the end of my time on earth. But on my way, what does it say? Might be chastised a little for, but they shall be greatly blessed. And so I'm being prepared, hopefully, for something. Well, I know not hopefully. I know I am going to be prepared, and through all the prayers of those people that are still praying for me on my way, for something better, and I shall be greatly blessed. And I'll pray for all of you.
That's if you go before us, Kushla.
Well, you never know. We were talking about these readings today, actually, in the office, and I was saying this. I said, just remember that. I've got a couple of colleagues. Just remember that, Roy, or remember that, Tony. Make sure that I said this. Tell them that. So that's the reading that I think I would like at my funeral, the wisdom one.
I think for me, it's Psalm 139, O Lord, you search me and you know me. And it kind of ties in with my favorite funeral hymn, really, which is Come As You Are. It's something so deeply personal. It's me or the person who's died who's going home to the Lord. It's not just somebody who died, right? It's the me of that person.
I think the reading that I would be very happy to have, and this is just my thinking about it today, because it changes every day, of course, if you would ask me yesterday or next week, because I've got so many, is the resuscitation of Lazarus. And I'd like that to be read maybe as the gospel. And then I'd like the preacher to say, please God, this does not happen to John O'Connor. And the reason is that Lazarus was not raised from the dead. He was resuscitated. The poor bugger had to die all over again a few years later. Like he had to go through the whole death thing twice. I just like, no, that's not what we want for those who have died. What we want is we live in the hope of the resurrection, not the like Lazarus resuscitation. Because I think that's an important point. Anyhow, that's just the one I'm thinking. And even as I say that, gosh, I can think of others as well. I could go on forever, but I won't. What about your favourite funeral hymn? Kushner, you've kind of indicated your religious shepherd.
I'm going to have the Lord as my shepherd.
Yeah.
If my family don't sing that with a beautiful harmonies, look out, I'll just come back and grab them. I love that. It takes me right back to my days, when I was in Fairlie, when I was growing up. But I love the fact that you said, today my favourite reading is this, because when I talk to my adult children about my funeral, and my daughter says, "Oh, good grief, Mum, we're going to be there forever." Because I'll say, I'd like that reading, or I'd like that hymn." And she says, "Well, that's about the 10th hymn that we've got on the list." So I do have to make some decisions.
Yeah.
But I'm going to have the Lord as my shepherd.
Do you know the other thing I'd like for my funeral? I would like the entire funeral to last 45 minutes or less. Do you remember, like, Catholic funerals were always very brief, but not only Catholic funerals. I remember looking up for some odd reason. The funeral of something came up the other day about Aunt Daisy. You remember that radio personality well before our time? But her funeral was at St. Paul's in Wellington, the cathedral in Wellington, Old St. Paul's. Do you know how long it took? 16 minutes. It was full of dignitaries and things, but that's because what we commend the person we love to God. Done. It's not a celebration of a human life. Now, I'm loving the Celtic tradition of the wake, which of course goes for the 2 days beforehand, which means that on the third day, you simply bury the person. You just get on with it. I would encourage people who are listening, if you haven't done this already, to jot down very clear notes about your funeral, because I do know people who may be very committed to the Mass even daily, but when it comes time for the funeral, the family move in and decide they'll simply be buried from a chapel with no funeral. But if you've got it written down, but also the funeral Mass doesn't have to be the main part of the funeral celebration. So on the third day, have the gathering in the local RSA with 100 people and 20 speakers, and the evening before, have a funeral Mass. Like there are many different ways of doing this, and like check with the priest about possibilities, because when the priest ends up in a role, or the celebrant ends up in a role of simply emceeing a dozen eulogies, it does become very difficult, because like priests are often not the best to emcee the eulogies. Our role is to celebrate the sacraments. So that is something that I, as we celebrate this feast, like think about your own funeral. And I know that it's often difficult when families get together at the time of the death of someone they love. Everyone in the family has heard grandpa or grandpop say a dozen things about the hymns they want, the readings they have. And by the time you put them in, the whole thing goes for 2 hours, plus the eulogies. But so if you put it down, this scripture, this hymn, that hymn, hymns that everyone knows and can join in. That's where Crimen, the Lord's My Shepherd, is such a powerful one. I can't believe, is it me that's talked too much or all the rest of you, but we're on time already. What to take home, Margaret?
What to take home? Love is stronger than death.
Well, wonderful.
What's the take home? I'm going to do what you said, John. I'm going to write down. I'm going to, have a look at these readings and write down if I want this and this and this. And hopefully it'll just go for 45 minutes. But the night before, oh my word, that's going to go on forever. That's going to be a proper, following the rosary, we're going to have
Love
a
it.
great old time.
Love it.
I have written down and told my family one of the hymns I want. Probably the main one is Praise the Lord, My Soul, Psalm 103. It'll be a tearjerker when people come to the third verse, which is my favorite because he's merciful and kind. He knows our ways. He knows we're dust.
Wow. Wonderful.
Like the flowers we flourish, we soon must die. But praise the Lord, my soul.
Wonderful. Thank you all. And wherever you are listening, thank you for being part of this conversation. I'm very aware that it might have been a difficult conversation for some to listen to, where the memory of the loss of someone you love is very raw. Just let the Lord be gentle with you. And I'm also aware that we don't just celebrate the Feast of All Souls on one day. The month of November is known as the Month of the Holy Souls. Many churches have boxes where you can place the names of those you wish to be remembered. Like, if you've never done it before, just do it. And then each week over the next few days, as you remember more and more people, and maybe you're on your own notepad or your iPhone, as you think of the name of someone who has died, again, perhaps it's the neighbor from 50 years ago that you haven't given a thought to since, just put their name down. And then maybe finish each day with a simple eternal rest. Grant to them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them. May they rest in peace. Amen. We pray that for those who have died. So again, take seriously that praying for those who have died. Even if you do that just for a week, you will notice a difference in yourself, as you feel united again with those who are on the journey to the fullness of God's life. And so we pray at the beginning of this month of the Holy Souls, remembering all those who have died, especially those friends, family, loved ones of those of you who are listening. We pray in the opening prayer, the collect of the Sunday. Listen kindly to our prayers, O Lord, and as our faith in your Son raised from the dead is deepened, so may our hope of resurrection for your departed servants also find new strength. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
Amen.